First of all, Ellis is alive and well, and he has problems of physical mobility that make it difficult for him to get an airplane to come up to Chicago and be with us in person. But his mind is still crystal clear, his sense of humor is wonderful, and he has taught me all I know about unblended malt Scotch whiskeys. Greetings and a gentle exhortation. Colleagues, I regret not being there to see you and speak personally. My thoughts are these. Three things come to mind that seem appropriate at this juncture to our society, with its devotion to liberty under law, as articulated and institutionalized by the American founders: resistance, understanding, and proclamation. One, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. Jefferson had as his motto, and we still put "In God We Trust" on our coins. This affirms the transcendental ground of reality as a fundamental of the Republic and as basic to the liberty infused into human nature by the Creator, as self-evidently proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence. This is a familiar and powerful way of symbolizing the status of individual human beings to participate in the divine, and as more than either members of a collective or merely moral. It is the ground of the dignity of every person under God and under any sound political regime, with echoes back to the earliest philosophical anthropology and to the truth of biblical revelation. The whole tendency of radical modern ideological thought runs counter to it. In the name of dehumanizing man, in the name of man, and of reducing human existence to materialism and biology. Resist this and live in truth, however pervasive social and intellectual forces to the contrary may be, as they tend to smother individual conscience and consciousness. Two, understand that we live not only in the present, but also in the presence, and therefore under judgment. Every person by this reckoning is an intersection of time and eternity. He or she is therefore more than a nodal point gathering in the sum total of social relationships, or merely molecules in motion, but lays claim to the triple perfection of body, intellect, and spirit, befitting the imago Dei. Thus, the claims of politics are limited, and if just, devoted to the well-being of the community and to each person composing it, with legitimate authority resting upon consent of the citizenry. The rule of law is better than that of any man, because the lust for dominion perverts the minds of rulers, even when they are the best of men. An unjust law is no law at all. Government exists for the well-being of the governed, not the profit and well-being of the rulers. This is especially treacherous ground in our modern surveillance and administrative state, where cleverly gaming the system on the basis of Saul Alinsky principles fosters tyranny. When belly and wit contend, the contest is unequal. The judicious Hooker taught us long ago, moreover, the world isn't going away, and we have to contend with multiple threats to our well-being from external powers, whether we like it or not. Three, resist, understand, and also proclaim truth in defense of civilization, even as our sense of community fractures and fundamental institutions disintegrate before our eyes to imperil civic consciousness. The truth of being remains what it is, whatever human defections from it occur. Whether Burke said it or not, it remains true that all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. The remnant must stand. The remnant must stand firm in the liberty wherewith we have been made free. Do something, even if you can't do everything. The truth shall prevail and is not at the beck and call of every would-be dictator or charlatan. When all else fails, we can remember Josh Billings' aphorism, "Most of the happiness in this world consists of possessing what others can't get." Thank you.